Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The big story everyone's talking about is the Lakers. And look, right now, they're 5.5 games out of eighth place. And San Antonio has the tiebreaker, eighth place Spurs. So they're really 6.5 games behind the Spurs. And they're 6 games behind the LA Clippers. So they're essentially out of it, not mathematically. But again, they would almost have to run the table to go ahead and make the playoffs.
They said that they would need to win 46 games, right? Is that the number, 46?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's
like
46.
From what I heard,
I mean,
it,
right
the number
now the Spurs
was like,
have 36.
They said that it was like you had to get 46 wins, and 46 would mean you have to go 16-2 in the last 18.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have a long road ahead of them. But the thing is, where do you place the blame? Right now, it's in vogue to place virtually all the blame on LeBron James. And obviously, he deserves some blame. He hasn't had, you know, the typical LeBron James seasons. He's had some bad optical moments sitting on the bench away from his teammates and things. Even though that really wasn't that big of a deal, it looked bad. Calling out some of the teammates. But Rob, I think people are going overboard with that. And I get it. You're the best player on the team. You're arguably the best player in the world. If your team's winning, when they were the fourth seed, LeBron was getting the lion's share of the praise.
Yes.
So I get why you get a lot of criticism. But if I had to pick out two things, and I was on the Herd today and I talked about it. If I had to pick out two things that I would really focus on the blame on this season, one would be the injury to LeBron. Because you can poo-poo it all you want, and
poo-poo,
it was relatively early. It was Christmas
poo-poo,
Day.
Poo-poo.
They were the fourth. It's a fact. You can mock it all you want, but it's a fact. They were the fourth seed.
But they weren't entrenched in that, man. Stop using that as a stop.
Entrenched or not, they were the fourth
seed,
period.
But they were 2 games from the ninth spot.
They were the fourth seed, though.
I know, but stop
like
holding on to that. But Marty, problem is,
Can I finish my statement?
I'll let you go off.
I'll let you go off for 5 minutes. Minutes about the glorious Clippers.
All right, go ahead. Go off for 5 minutes.
Can I finish?
Go.
All right. They were the fourth seed when LeBron got hurt, dismantling the defending champion Golden State Warriors in a big Christmas Day game. All right. So that injury derailed them. They went 6-12 after that, or 6-11 while LeBron was out during that one stretch. And then the other injuries too. Rajon Rondo missing 34 games. Brandon Ingram missing 11. Lonzo Ball still out. He's missed about 18 games. So
sometimes it's addition by subtraction.
The injuries are a factor. That's what I'd blame one thing on, particularly to LeBron. Secondly, Rob, the front office. And Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. Now, LeBron had a lot of input on this roster. Go and get these playmakers, these defenders, these tough guys who can't shoot. All right? But at the end of the day, the buck stops with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka because they run the front office. And they chose to put together this disjointed team that really doesn't complement LeBron. And beyond that, the thing that really sent the season off the rails was the Anthony Davis trade saga. And it's been, everybody's talked about how, oh, New Orleans was leaking all the trade names and this and that, and they wanted to get back at the Lakers and all that. And that, some of that may be true. I'm sure there were leaks coming out of New Orleans. But there were also leaks coming out of the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's where Magic and Pelinka have to answer for it too. It wasn't just the Pelicans. And what I was told today by a good source is that the Lakers were also leaking the names of who they were willing to trade. And that was essentially everybody not named LeBron James for Anthony Davis. And here is why. because the last year or so, Rob, we know the Lakers have been crucified because they didn't go hard after Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They thought they had Paul George wrapped up, so they didn't offer anything in a trade. They said, we'll get him in free agency. They could have tried to trade for Kawhi Leonard last summer. They didn't. I don't think Popovich would have sent him there, but they didn't do that either. And so they wanted their fans to know, we are not doing the same thing. We are not making the same mistake again. And we are going all in on getting Anthony Davis. So they leaked a lot of the trade stuff so their fans would know we're all about this. We're not sitting on our hands. We're not resting on our laurels. We're going to get Anthony Davis now, not in free agency. And that backfired on them, Rob. And when LeBron James came back, he came back to a team that was mentally and emotionally wasted, spiritually dead because of all the trade rumors and trade talks. So that's a big part of the problem too.
All right, I don't disagree with some of that, but I put all the blame on LeBron James.
Of course you do.
No, and he came to Los Angeles knowing that this was a young team, so he signed up for this. You can't act like once you get here, oh my God, they haven't won anything. No, they haven't made the playoffs. This is a young team with a lot of unproven people. As far as putting together the team, you can blame Magic and Rob Pelinka. LeBron James wanted Lance Stephenson and wanted JaVale McGee and wanted Rondo. He's the one who signed off on
but
those guys.
Who gets the final blame, though?
I'm just
the LeBron's the worst
general manager in the NBA.
Why are you letting him be the general manager?
Okay, but that's because
Pat Riley didn't let him be the general manager.
When you sign LeBron James at this point, that's what teams do. And the last thing
is that what Miami did?
Especially
when you have him for 4 years.
That's how desperate they were. And the last thing is, He derailed the team with the ADs that he needed to have AD and have his agent Rich Paul put this out publicly with a year and a half left on AD's contract. He wasn't going to be a free agent after this year, and they were trying to make it happen before the trade deadline. He had another year on his contract, and here's the other part, Chris. When he's come back,
let's analyze what you just said.
Let me just ask one more thing. Here's the other part. And then watch LeBron in that Suns game. He bricked two free throws.
Oh, we can definitely talk about his play.
At the end of the game, which would have made the game a one possession game. He missed both free throws. The other day in Phoenix, he on an inbounds pass, he hit the back of the backboard for a turnover, which I've never seen in my 33 years of covering NBA basketball or college basketball or high school basketball. Have I ever seen that happen? That's focus. What is that? So all I'm saying is, along with all that other stuff, LeBron James hasn't lived up to what he was supposed to live up with as being the greatest player on the planet. He has been. He just hasn't done it.
But you didn't say along with those other things. You said it's
no, but I just named. I named four things.
LeBron James. You said it's all on LeBron.
I named the four things. He knew what he was coming
but
to.
But you still said it's all on him. He's the reason for the bad Lakers season. None of it on the young players who went 6-11 without him.
No,
none of it on the front office who put together this roster and who leaked the Anthony Davis trade stuff. None of it on that. None of it on the injuries. Just on LeBron, and I give you, he shot poorly from the line. He hasn't played good defense. But you're going to put it all on him?
Injuries are a part of the game. We can't make an excuse just for LeBron.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying it's a factor.
Toronto has one of the best records in the league. And you know what? Their best players missed 16 games. Kawhi Leonard's missed 16. LeBron missed 18. And where are they? So don't tell me it's just about
that's my point. Their players played well without Kawhi.
I'm not buying up.
The Lakers players didn't. That's the difference. What don't you understand?
And why are
that?
They losing now that LeBron's back is what I'm saying. Why are they losing?
No, I'm not. I'm not absolving him. I'm just saying there are other factors. That's all I'm saying. You're saying it's all him. I'm saying that he's to blame, no doubt, but there are other factors as well. So let's see, Rob, what the listeners think. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What has been the biggest reason for the Lakers' demise this season? 877-99 on Fox. We will continue the conversation with you next. It's The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
As we're talking about the NBA, we've got a great guest to delve into that topic even more deeply. It is former NBA general manager and now an NBA analyst for CBS Sports and NBA TV, Billy King. Billy, welcome to the iCouple. How you doing?
What's happening?
I'm glad to be here, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're great, man. We're great.
We can't agree on this LeBron Laker thing, but
that's where we'll start. That's the story of the NBA right now, Billy. What do you attribute this mess in Los Angeles to, where the Lakers look like they're not going to make the playoffs?
Well, I think it goes back to LeBron's injury. Because I think they were starting to gel, starting to figure out how to play with LeBron, because he's a unique player. And I think once he got hurt, they lost their engine. He's the glue. They all came there. The veteran guys came. And I think also Rondo being hurt, because I think Rondo can handle the ball and facilitate people. When those guys were out for as long as they were, it's hard to come back and now try to get that rhythm, because some of those young guys, they've never won. They've never been in this position where you're fighting for a playoff spot. So I just think the injury with LeBron took them out of their rhythm, and they couldn't get it back. Because this time of year, you don't have time to practice. Well, and so now all little things, whether it's missing assignments or defense or shot selection or rebound, boxing out, all those little things come about.
Well, Billy, I have to push back from this standpoint. I get the injuries. Injuries happen in the NBA in all sports, and you got to bounce back. They still had a chance to make the playoffs. When you look at this team, LeBron hasn't played defense. They've lost to some of the worst teams in the league. This team, even with LeBron on the court, they just lost to the Suns, who had won one game in 6 weeks. They lost to Memphis. They lost to New Orleans without Anthony Davis. How can that be that we're looking at these losses now with LeBron putting up triple doubles but not playing defense, and the reason that they're not going to make the playoffs is because of the 18 games that he missed?
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of that is timing, and I think you can't – LeBron may not be playing defense, but the one thing, like, you look back in Cleveland, they had guys like Tristan Thompson back there who were going to play defense, guys that understood the rotations to do that. The Laker team, a lot of the guys, they weren't built to play defense last year. It was about an offensive game. And so now, LeBron has to play defense. But I just think when you're not in practice, the defense assignments, the rotation, all those things are – you don't have time to work on them because you don't have time to practice. This time of year, teams aren't practicing much. For example, look at the Sixers. They're, Brett Brown, in the other game last night, they're up three, they take a foul, they have bad turnovers because they haven't had a chance to practice as they've added all these new pieces. It's very easy to throw in pieces and say it's going to work in basketball when you make these trades, but if you don't have time to get on the court and practice, and this time you don't, it's very hard to make it work. We traded for Dikembe Mutombo in 2001 when we had the best record in the East at the time. And after that trade, counting playoffs, we were a 500 team and even got to the NBA Finals. And before that, we were I think, at 41-14.
Well, Billy, Luke Waldner reports that he's going to be fired at the end of the season.
Be the fall guy.
I think they're true. Yeah, I think he'll be the scapegoat. What is the view of him around the league? Do you think he'll get another NBA head coaching job in the future, or people look at him as maybe just an assistant or maybe somebody that goes to college to coach?
No, I think he'll get a job. If he gets fired in this season, he'll probably get a job next season, because I think they'll look at what he did with Golden State. And Mike D'Antoni said something that's very very unique, and not unique, very prophetic about coaching the NBA. When he was at Denver, his first NBA head coaching job, they didn't win, and people said he couldn't coach. When he got to Phoenix and he had Nash and Stoudemire, people said, oh, the guy's the greatest coach. And he said, Billy, I'm the same coach. I just got better players. So sometimes coaches become better coaches when they have better players. And when they don't, they've got to try to figure out and make it work. I think Luke is in a tough situation. You're bringing in a guy like LeBron, who, you know, I think Luke wants to play a certain way like they did at Golden State. And LeBron has played a certain way and has been very successful playing his way in Miami and Cleveland winning championships. So I just don't think the two styles mesh together. And so I think Luke will be able to go somewhere else and do okay.
Billy, some anonymous GM, I think, around the league said that they thought that the chemistry was destroyed on this team because of, you know, basically the trade rumors and all their names were leaked out, that basically LeBron was willing to give up anybody on the roster in order to get Anthony Davis. Can that affect the team when people see their names out or they're not wanted by a star player? How do you think that that affected the Lakers after all that got out?
Well, I mean, I think it probably affected him once it was out there, but it was out there for so long. And one thing I think Magic said when he talked to the guys, you know, if they're going to play in this NBA, their names are going to be out there, not unless you're a great player. Your name's going to be out there. That's just the nature of the beast. It's your end. And it's a profession that you've chosen. So you still got a job to do, whether you're going to be traded or not. You still got a job to do because, end of the day, people are judging you and how you play individually. So if you're going to go out there and lay down and not play well, it's not just going to affect the Lakers. It's going to affect you as an individual player. So, but it's ironic that the two teams that people were talking about was it the Celtics with Anthony Davis, even though they couldn't do it until after the season, and the Lakers, both those teams are in a funk. And, you know, and you look at the Celtics, and they've got unbelievable talent. They've been together, and you know, they're not playing well. But I think it affected those guys for a period, but it shouldn't have been a hangover effect, especially after the trade deadline, because now you know you're there.
It's the iCup. We're joined by former NBA general manager Billy King. Billy, I'm glad you brought up the Celtics, because like you said, they are in a funk. Is it fair? You worked in NBA a long time, worked with a lot of coaches. Is it fair to wonder if Brad Stevens is just one of those coaches that he maximizes like mediocre or pretty good talent, but he has trouble handling the superstars and the egos and things like that? Is it fair to wonder that with Boston?
Well, I don't think some of the responsibility has to go to Brad because he's the head coach. But I made the statement, I think, a couple weeks ago about Boston. I think a lot of the players are so worried about next year, not this year. You know, is Kyrie's, you know, and the people are asking the question, is he going to stay in Boston or is he going to New York? You know, are they trading guys for Anthony Davis? And so they've been so focused on the future, not the present. And I think that, you know, as a unit, they need to worry about playing now. I do think when they get in the playoffs, they have enough talent, and you know, cream tends to rise to the top. I think they can do it when they get there because they are so talented, and playoffs is a different season. But I just was worried that they've been so focused on whether Rozier, new contract. It's all about the future, not the present.
They would face Philadelphia in that first round. They're the 4 and 5 seeds. They've owned Philadelphia, beat them last year 4-1 in the playoffs, have won like 17 of their last 20 matchups. Would you pick Boston right now over Philadelphia in that series?
Well, I probably would just because of what I've seen, how they've played. I just haven't seen Philadelphia prove that they can beat them. And until they do it, you've got to go with Boston because they have played so much better than them in playoff series. The thing with Philadelphia now, you're worried Joel Embiid's missing a 6th game tonight. You know, now he's going to come back, and now they've got to get him back in rhythm, and they're adding Tobias Harris. So it's going to be a lot of chemistry issues, I think, with this group, adding Joel back, trying to figure out Tobias Harris. And I think for Brett Brown, it's figuring out, who do you go to into the game when you need a big bucket? If you're up 5 with 2 minutes, what are you doing? And when you don't have these regular season games to figure it out, I think it's going to be kind of difficult. It was like they were last year. Remember they had that great run, was it 18-19 straight?
Yep.
And
yep.
Joel was out, and then he came back, and the style play changed because before, without Joel, they were running and pushing and shooting threes, playing at their high pace. You bring Joel back, you know, you got to slow it down a little bit. And I think that was a different pace than they had played with before.
Billy, great stuff,
yeah,
man.
We appreciate the knowledge.
You. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime, guys.
All right. Thanks, Billy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Rob, as bad as things are in Los Angeles, to some degree, they're just as bad across the nation in Boston. The two
at least the Celtics are making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, at least that's why it's not as bad. That's why I said to a degree. Celtics are going to be in the playoffs. But these are the two flagship franchises in the NBA. The two best franchises easily in the association. And both have drama galore. And both of them are led by former Cleveland Cavaliers LeBron James in L.A. and Kyrie Irving in Boston. And Kyrie, Rob, almost seems to be at war with the media. I shouldn't say at war because he did talk. You know, he some games afterwards he's given one-word, two-word answers. But when he talks, he says a mouthful. And he talked recently, and here's what he had to say.
I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, you know, be famous, be a celebrity, wherever embodies that. So it's a little hard for me. You know, I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level. Media has just gotten just outrageous. You know what I mean? Like, I just saw some the other day where, you know, he's the greatest player playing our game right now, but even seeing somebody question, like, Bron's body of work, like, my body of work, KD's body of work, and, you know, the team's success falls on the best player. And whether call it fair or unfair, but nobody should ever question what type of winner those guys are. You know what I mean? What type of winner I am, or whether or not I have the team in first mentality.
I think he's questioning you, Rob.
That's fine. That's
you
what we do.
You the one calling out LeBron for not wanting to win. Go
That's
ahead.
Fine.
That's your boy. I think you're going to go Mr. Softy.
No, he's wrong. Kyrie's wrong. Nah, come on, stop that. Turn that off, because he's wrong. And the problem that I have, stop. Come on, Alex.
Rob Parker.
No, stop.
Go ahead, man.
This is the same guy who didn't want all that, but he made a movie, right? Oh, wait a minute.
Right.
You don't
right.
want all that, but you made a movie. Stop.
Unless he just loves the thespian arts, then you did that to be famous.
Yes, you did.
Right?
Yes. You didn't make a Shakespearean movie, right? Of some great literature.
You're not just down at the library branch acting in local plays, right?
No, you made some yuck film called Uncle Drew. Right. Stop it. Come on, man. You can't have it both ways. When you want people to go buy your sneakers, you're out in the media and you're doing TV commercials and you're putting stuff out. You said, I wanted that in the beginning, but I don't want that now. That's what you signed up for. I hate to break it to you. Kyrie, you can play basketball and nobody care? Go to the Y. Go play basketball at the Y and have fun. You're on national TV. Stop it. You get paid millions. These guys, they want that. They want anonymity. That's what they want. And they want $20 million too? Stop it. Who are you kidding? Answer the damn questions. I keep telling these athletes, Chris, you don't care. I don't care. We're there for the fans. We're not there for ourselves. So every time you turn your nose up at us or don't give us any answers, you know what? You're doing that to the fans. You're not doing that to us. It's our job. We don't care if you win or lose. I still got to write a story either way. Stop it. It's not about us. Whenever you do that, you're dumping on the fans. I'm so tired of athletes doing that. What's wrong with these guys? They want the attention. They want the money. But they don't want the responsibility that comes with it.
You're right. I give you applause. You were not Mr. Softy on that. I mean, look. We get it from a human element. We get the frustration when you're psychoanalyzed, when you're criticized, okay? Nobody likes being criticized. However, as you said, Rob, it comes with the job description. Any job in the public eye, yes. I was on First Things First this morning, and Nick Wright, our colleague here at FS1, he said when he first started his radio show, he was always reading I think even at that time it was emails, not, you know, they didn't even have Twitter.
Right.
And he's reading emails, and people are killing him, slaughtering him. And he said it just made him depressed. And he went to the guy, one of his colleagues, and said, I don't know if I can do this. And the guy said, look, you chose a job in the public arena.
Yes, you did.
If you want to do it, you get paid nicely. Not as much as Kyrie Irving and NBA players, but you get paid nicely. You get many perks and benefits. Do you want the job or not? This comes with it. We could go all the way down the line. Rob, you and I, we get criticized. The New England Patriots hated on you.
Yes, they sent out a video, and they put it out there right on Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
It's fine. Did I roll into a ball and cry? No. I have my opinion. That's what I do for a job. And I respect them for pushing back. I got no issue, Chris.
Yep. No, you're right. You understand it's a part of the job. And you hit it on the head. If Kyrie, Kevin Durant, any of these guys, if they want to just play ball, as they both have said, then go to the open gym.
Yes.
There's plenty of guys just playing ball. Go work at the post office. Go work at the auto body shop.
Yes, nobody.
Go, if you're smart, go get a good job in corporate America and then go play ball in your free time, and nobody will care about who you talk to in the hallway.
No doubt about
it. Nobody will care about, you know, every little word you say. It won't get analyzed. It won't get talked about on TV shows in the morning. But guess what? You won't make $25 million a year either. You won't have movies. You won't have a shoe deal.
No, you won't have any of that stuff. And I just can't understand why these guys don't understand that part of what you have has to do with being able to be in the media and people looking at you and hearing what you sound like. Chris, the reason some guys don't get it is that they don't have an appeal, right? Once people interview them, oh, this guy's dry. This guy doesn't have anything to offer. Those guys don't get picked up. Those guys don't get – everybody in the league doesn't have a sneaker deal.
Rob, they've got to understand, and I've told this to some of them, the media, and I'm not trying to overshoot what it is that we do or overstate it, okay? But media is important. These guys are tremendous athletes. They're incredibly gifted, and they have worked incredibly hard to get where they are, and they deserve the props and everything they get. However, if it wasn't for the media, because guess what? Television is media, okay? YouTube is media.
Yes.
The newspaper, the radio, the podcast, all of that is media. If nobody televised your games, you'd just be a bunch of brothers running around playing basketball like millions of other guys. You might do it at a higher level, but if nobody knew about it because the media didn't promote it, then who would care? It's we work hand in hand. We need them and for something to report about, and they need us to publicize it.
No doubt about it, but I just think that they really lose sight. They think they really believe that it's about us, Chris, and we're just a conduit to the fans. It's not about us. It's not. I know they believe so, but it's about the fans. The fans are interested. That's why they watch Undisputed, Chris, every morning, right? Because the fans are interested. That's why they watch.
And let me say something else, Rob. I was talking to somebody in the league today. And it's just one person. But he knows what he's talking about. And he said that we know we've all heard the rumors about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant maybe going to New York. We're not stating that as a fact, but that's certainly on
the table.
Just
out there, right.
That's out there. This guy told me today that one of the things that was making them apprehensive about that was the media. And I know I've said that on the radio show and television. If you are that sensitive and that worried about the media in Boston and in Golden State or the Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland, and for Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City before that, then New York, you better have some thick skin in New York.
Can I tell you something? There have been players who played in New York who excelled, who were getting beat up. We talk about Eli Manning all the time, Chris. Won 2 Super Bowls. Derek Jeter, shortstop of the New York Yankees. All right? most people are critical of that team forever. Won 5 championships. I could go on and on.
Patrick Ewing used
Ewing got beat up all the time, right? And took the team to the finals twice. They didn't win, but he weathered the storm. Got to have thick skin, and you got to be about your – but you know what? Nobody in New York ever said Patrick Ewing didn't give his all, right? They were frustrated, right, Chris, but they knew he worked hard, and he tried to win.
I would say to some of these guys, they some of these guys, because they say media, but it's also social media. Social media is far more critical of them
than
the media.
That's not media, yes.
No, but you know what I'm saying? But that's part of what bothers them. Get off your mentions and get off your, the comment section and reading about everything people are saying about you. Kyrie did say in his interview recently with local reporters in Boston that he has disconnected from social media. But remember Adam Silver, the commissioner, said that a lot of these players are unhappy. I think that's one of the issues.
I think he is 100% right. I think that there is a disconnect from human beings. Chris, think about this. You see the players now. There used to be a camaraderie. You're on the bus. Everybody has their own headsets. Everybody's into their phone. They don't even know the guy next to them. They don't.
Right.
There's no connection. And I think that's the life they're living. So they're isolated. They're rich. They got their houses and their mansions and all this other stuff. And they don't connect with people.
Nah, that's real. That's real talk. And, look, that's something that they need to weigh. And I'll say this, look, because of technology now, there's a lot of, New York's known for tabloid journalism and sensationalism and all that, and hard-nosed journalism as well. That's across the country now. Because of the internet, now you can read New York papers and all that all over the country and even the world. So you get a degree of that wherever you're at, but it is still worse in New York. And I would hate for Kyrie and Kevin Durant, if they really want to go to the Knicks, not to go because of the media. But I'm told that might be something that they're looking at as they weigh where they want to go.
That's crazy to me. It's just crazy. Where do you want to go? You want to go to Phoenix where they won't bother you? You just got to worry about the Arizona Republic? Is that where you want to go?
That's it. Right, right, right.
That's the only paper in town. They won't bother you.
Look, if you go to New York, just don't read the papers. You're going to hear about some of it.
The paper's not for them. Who's the paper for, Chris?
The fans.
Yes, that's who the paper's for. That's who Sports Talk Radio is for.
And you have to know who you are, too. Like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, they've talked about being fueled by criticism, by doubters, by haters. Mm-hmm. Some players aren't, though. Some players, it gets in their head. They got voices in their head. They start doubting themselves. I give it to Kyrie and Durant. Their game, they're still able to play at a high level, even though this stuff bothers them. But I would just leave it alone. I would get rid of it and don't pay attention to it. I know that's hard for millennials. That's kind of like telling us, Rob, don't watch TV.
Right.
But if it's bothering you that much, it's something you need to consider. Finally, last thing I'll say about Kyrie, a lot of this Kyrie brought on himself. This kind of started in mid-January when he said that not all of our young players know what it takes to play at a championship level. And then his own teammate, unsolicited, Jaylen Brown, went back at him. He said, hey, we got to stop pointing fingers or everybody's going to go into a shell and we're all being on our own little silos. That's a paraphrase. And then Kyrie came back with, LeBron's story, how he called to apologize and he didn't listen to him either as a youngster. And then July, asked me in July whether I'm staying, with the Celtics or not. I don't owe anybody bleep. So that's when a lot of this started with Kyrie. And so, you got to look at some of the comments you've made, too. All right. How much blame does the media deserve for the unhappiness of NBA players like Kyrie Irving? It's your chance to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It's the iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.